This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live. Sean Stacking Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Good. Got to thank the audience on the East Coast for joining us on this fine Saturday.
There you go. Getting all your dates, all your times.
No, not happy. Just Saturday. Welcome to Saturday.
Welcome to Saturday. Kramer, we are only about 5 weeks out to the Hall of Fame game. Do we have a betting splits up for the Hall of Fame game?
Oh, yet? Yeah. You know we do.
And of course, Kramer's using the VSiN Pro betting splits. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for as little as $9.99. For your first month, you can get access to the betting splits, the picks, the VSiN Watch app, all great pieces of content, and help you be a smarter better. VSiN.com/subscribe, only $9.99. Kramer, what do we got?
Maybe we don't have preseason.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
I lied, but we do have week one.
Oh, all right. Up. Well, what's the, why don't you tease the audience? What is the most lopsided week one NFL betting splits? And of course, what's great about VSiN, you get the DK betting splits and the circuit betting splits.
I'll highlight the funniest one.
Okay.
The secret's out. Everyone's betting against the Colts week one home against the Dolphins.
No, I love that angle.
If the Dolphins,
especially if Daniel Jones is starting,
Dolphins are going to be a road 2.5 point road favorite.
Brian,
this
is the most NFL thing. And Kramer and I have been on this trend for a long time, fading the Colts week one. It's been straight cash.
A decade of dominance.
And now you know what's going to happen is that everyone's going to be on the Dolphins. Yeah. And then Daniel Jones is going to somehow break the Colts winless streak on opening day dating back to 2014.
Tie. They're going to have a tie.
Okay.
They're going to cover with a tie.
Oh, you're right.
No, I think they're going to end up being a dog and they're going to cover with a tie.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
It's already happened once against the Texans. Remember that?
Oh my God. And I had a huge parlay and all I needed was the Texans money line to pay that out. They were up. They were up. 20-0, I think, at halftime or something. They were up big, and your cousin, aka our cousin, Cousin Mush, was already celebrating the big parlay win. And of course, it gets cooked as a tie. It's still paid out, but you know, not quite
one of the mushier situations.
It was an all time mush. Ryan,
yes,
we're going to continue our look at some NFL futures.
Okay,
time for shred or save. Look at that beautiful shredder. Just eating up. It is cathartic, Ryan. And I do still like the mechanics of a paper ticket, especially with the futures. Soon as it's a loss in the shredder, moving on, I feel clean. It's great.
Maybe we need to set up a live web, like a live camera that's just on the shredder at all times. People can tune in, and check out even the shredder.
Even if you have a good Sunday, a good weekend, there's still always a couple just in case bets that are making their way into the shredder.
Parlay or two.
Yeah, it's fun to clean those out. Get your little Kramer and I have these. I don't know, what would you call them? Little satchels of that we put the tickets in.
Yeah, I would say a fireproof container to make sure our tickets don't burn.
Now you could always use the Circa app or whatever apps when we're out there in Vegas, but they're just call me a true romantic, Ryan. There's nothing beats a paper ticket.
This is like my kids get at me like about this. It's I pay with cash and I'm embarrassing them. Why don't you tap like everyone else? That's what the paper ticket is, Sean.
Yeah.
Of course I can bet on an app. I'm not a dinosaur. what do you got over there? It's you go first.
Okay, Ryan.
I'll let you lead.
Okay. I will give you this one. This one's a little surprising for a number one seed ticket. They're coming in with a decent amount of hype. Now, price considered, are you shredding or saving the Carolina Panthers at 70-1?
Why are you doing
70-1? I'm not high on them, but 70-1, you can make a case. I don't think I'm doing it, but
the case is their division. They take the step forward. In a really messy way.
They do have the number one, former number one pick, Bryce Young at quarterback, had a little bit of momentum to close the season.
Just because he might be
Tet McMillan draft pick.
Closing the gap on CJ Stroud and his class doesn't mean I think he's going to be, I get it. Sam, the thing is Sam Darnold just had this season where he racked up all these wins.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Shred it.
They are the third longest. I guess I found that a little surprising, and this, cause I'm listening to a lot of shows. A lot of the shows now talking NFL future stuff are fantasy related. And there's a little bit of a buzz about Bryce Young. People seem to be buying stock on Bryce Young. He's very easy to draft, et cetera. It's, I guess, a little surprising to me that they're the third longest shot for
50-1 to win the conference, but 70-1 to get the one seed.
Yeah. I would never take them to win the conference, but number one seed,
I strangely could talk myself into that position more. Like, I just think them winning. What do you think it's going to take? 14.
Yeah.
But
Bryce Young winning multiple playoff games.
Yeah. Him, like everything going right. And him like finally taking that big jump, his mental game, it being what everyone said it would be. They have the offensive line, the defense steps up.
Yeah. I mean, we're arguing 50 and 70 to one shot,
but
I think if he was to go on a run, he would have to be at home. I don't see him going on the road in the playoffs, getting those wins.
A little scrappy underdog, metaphorically speaking.
Kramer, give me a ticket. What do you got over there?
It would be mean for me to give you the Chargers, so I won't do that.
I think they could be a very good regular season team.
I have a better
one. Their downfall comes in the playoffs.
I have a better one, and I'm going to really put you into a little bit of a locker situation.
Okay.
Jacksonville Jaguars are 45-1.
Oh man.
To be the one seed. You have the AFC North, which should beat each other up. You have the AFC West that should beat each other up. So you're probably competing against the Bills, who are plus 195. So something needs to maybe happen there, but the division is going to be a mess. Houston's the only other competition, and everyone seems to think that they're so much better that the Jags are like a 3-1 shot to win the division. It's a division that could also have some really bad teams.
Yeah.
Really bad teams.
No, at 45-1, Ryan.
And if you're piling on the Jags and in various ways to get invested, Liam Cohen is 13-1. Division price is 3-1. One seed, 45-1.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a price considered, I kind of like, I don't know, because Liam Cohen is set up for a,
I
a
like all of them for case. The record.
A smash case.
This is gross.
At 45-1, I'm not shredding it because I like a good long shot. Now, I think what is their best case is I think they do have talent on defense. Travis Hunter is a very good football player. Like, I don't know how they're gonna end up using him, how many snaps, but that guy's awesome. His ball skills are unmatched.
They have
it
tons
jumps
of talent
off the screen.
Everywhere they have talent.
And look at the way they finished their season, Colts at home. Okay. Jets at home, December games in Florida. Yep. Ideal. Now, December 21st at Denver, that's going to be tough. Then you have at Indy, that's in the dome. And then you get the Titans at home in Florida. So you only have one outdoor road game. And even before that, you're at Titans, at Cardinals. I mean, again, 45-1 price considered. I'm in, Ryan.
That's
I'm saving it. I'm not sure.
Here we go.
I'm not.
Here we go. This is going to be the year of the Jag.
This one's interesting. They're catching a ton of, it feels like steam in the market. It's
Jags.
No. The ticket I'm going to give to you. They're an interesting team. They won 14 games last year. Now their win total set at 8.5. They're starting what I believe is a rookie quarterback. I've been told by Vikings fans he's not a rookie because he participated virtually in their practices last year. But the Vikings to get the number one seed at 10-1, are you shredding that or are you saving it, Ryan?
Without even blinking, I'm shredding it.
Really? Shred it.
Shred it.
That's way too short.
So for them to be effectively the same price as the Rams feels wrong to me. I think if anything, I can argue there's more competition in the Vikings division, or at least more parity.
Yeah.
The Packers, I mean, I'm not a Packers guy, but the Packers being 9-1 and the Vikings being 10-1.
I mean, the Bears are right next to them, or next team up, and they're 20-1. I don't think the Bears should be double the Vikings price.
I think people, I mean, I think we've seen Kevin O'Connell do great stuff with offenses, with quarterbacks. I think we just saw they hit everything. They got everything was right last year, and they still fell short. And so are you going to do that with JJ McCarthy? Not this year. Not this year.
Yeah, and it
might be a better bet next year if they have a little bit of a lull, and then, you know, year two of McCarthy.
Yeah, I think they're pretty solid, but it's very rare to go on a crazy Jaden Daniels like run your first year as a starter. And sure, did he get some value out of being with the team and taking some virtual stuff? Sure, but that is way different than seeing live bullets. And he's still recovering from the injury.
We got to get this VR. Yeah. We got to start doing our own reps.
Yeah, we got. I like that VR.
I got a year experience, Sean, in the league.
Hey, we are going to talk college football when we return. Big Ten, little mini preview, college football win totals, college. Also, right around the corner, Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast Live. Sean Stacking the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Sean, not that long until week zero/sign up weekend. We'll be out at the Circa.
Contest weekend.
Some live bullets, live football bullets.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Great weekend to come out to the Circa, sign up for the contest. But from now until then, we're always looking for extra action. And what better place than getting down on the ponies? That's right. Love First Bet. They're great because every day, hundreds of thrilling horse races all across the world. And you can watch, you can get down right from your phone, computer, whatever you got. The number one stbet.com. That's the number one stbet.com. Use a promo code VSIN200, score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Get in on the action. Head over to 1stbet.com. Kramer always has an extra TV going with some ponies, and I know you love your First Bet app.
TV8, always on the horses.
Always keeping an eye on
should try it. I mean, middle of the day, maybe you're having that post-lunch lull. You haven't gotten your afternoon coffee. I mean,
who needs an afternoon coffee when you can get that instant jolt of adrenaline of a nice little horse race?
Fire a couple trifectas out there. Yeah. You know, who knows?
I mean, ponies are very fun. Very, very fun. Kramer, speaking of some the horses, what about the big horses in the Big Ten? We've been doing some college football conference previews over on our podcast, giving out plays for every one of these teams over under on the win totals. I'll let you start out. What's a team that's jumping out at you? And of course, there are 18 teams to choose from.
How did they? I do like how they the tiebreak. Like we haven't come to it yet, but the midseason change of the tiebreaker rule.
Oh man!
To make sure that we don't have a situation where the wrong team gets in the playoff. I mean, who can forget the pandemic Ohio State situation where the Big Ten was Big Ten knew better, canceled football. Then Big Ten had a predicament when Ohio State only played five games.
But yeah, we want Ohio State in, so
find a way
to adjust the rules,
get them in the championship. So yeah, we'll get started with a team that isn't the blue bloods of the Big Ten, but they were 9-3 last year, and that's the Fighting Illini.
Yeah, they're catching some buzz.
Brent Bielema of the Joe Judge coaching tree is, I mean,
maybe don't highlight the Joe Judge coaching tree ride.
Oh, it's a great bit. I'm not gonna throw the bit down just because Joe Judge is no longer. I mean, he is the analytics guru at Ole Miss.
If you're, okay,
you're keeping track at home, but I think one of the things you're gonna notice this year is veteran quarterbacks. College is gonna turn into a situation where quarterbacks stay because they can get paid. And they can prolong their career, and age doesn't matter when they get there. So you got Luke Altmaier, you got Brent Bielema. That, you know, the defense is going to be good. I think they're going to have some veteran quarterback play. And this was a team that was already scrappy last year. So you look at their schedule this year, they get Ohio State at home. So yeah, don't look now. That could be absolutely an upset situation. For the most part, the rest of their road games aren't scary, with the exception of the trip to Indiana, September 20th, earlier in the year. I absolutely love this team. I mean, with the win total where it is, and maybe we'll get involved in some futures with them. I don't have that yet, but the over 8.5, I mean, this, again, they went 9-3 last year. You can get plus odds on that over, and you look at the schedule, and I'm not sure I can easily find those three losses. I mean, you have winnable road games at Purdue. You have winnable road games, against Wisconsin, Washington. The home games against Rutgers. I mean, this is a team that is going to rack off some wins. They're going to be a tough beat 'em up team. And Sean, something to note, something to keep an eye on this season. Illinois is going to be one of the more physical teams, I believe, in this conference. I think we might have to dust off some of our tracking of how teams do after they play.
Illinois. Oh, okay. That's could always a, fun to identify
fade,
those
fade
teams.
A team off the Illinois game. So over on Illinois, 8.5. And I'll probably end up with a little sprinkle on the playoff and conference.
Yeah. Ryan, you mentioned the pandemic there for the Big Ten football 2020.
That's all you took away?
That was, well, I'm with you. I like Illinois. I think they're going to be a tough out. And I don't know if I'm playing them to make the playoff, but I like the over 8.5. I think 9-3 is very doable for the Illinois team coming into this.
I think, like, above average veteran quarterback play, like the game manager stuff where you're not losing games.
Well, and Ryan, I know you're not a fan, but you are basically describing Drew Aller of Penn State, who
he can lose games.
Penn State is returning of the Final Four. Penn State is returning the most of those top four teams. I like the Penn State over. It's 11.5. I get it's going to be a little white knuckling. This one I like better as a lock. Give me Iowa over 7.5 games. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the pandemic year. That was the only year since 2014 where Kirk Ferentz didn't go over 7.5 wins. I mean, this program is very sturdy. I think they've done a good job kind of refreshing their offense a little bit. They're 8-5 last year. I struggle to see where he's not going to put a competent team out there. And Ames, Iowa is always a tough place to play. And you look at some of all their tougher games in the conference seem to line up at home. Indiana, they get at home. Penn State, they get at home. Oregon, they get at home. Are they going to win it? Are they going to win all of those? No. Could they upset one, maybe two? Certainly. And they have revenge on their mind for Iowa State. They've lost the last two. I think that's a good spot for them. Granted, they lose Caleb Johnson to the pros here, but I believe in Kirk Ferentz as a coach, and they're going to win 8 games. Like, it's Iowa. It's what they do. So I love the over here at 7.5.
It's also, as we learned when we were doing our previews, they might have a tiny bit of offense this year.
Yeah.
Well, so.
I think their offense continues to get a little better. You know, they're going to play good defense, good special teams, and just be a tough out in general. So yeah, give me Iowa over 7.5 wins.
Now, do we going back to Penn State?
Yes.
As a fan of Penn State, which you maybe you're a team, would you consider yourself a TMZ Penn State fan?
Yeah, I mean, my fandom,
like a boat shoes alumnus.
Everything is small potatoes compared to the Eagles. So, if I'm being honest, that's the only thing that messes up my day if they lose. Everything else, I can take in stride and just move on.
So is James Franklin in a situation where if they don't overperform, which is basically winning a national championship, but at least if they don't win the conference, are we looking at a situation where they might fire him?
He's in a weird spot. Obviously Ohio State's been his Achilles heel. So to your point, Ryan, if they don't win the conference, but they beat Ohio State, I think he's in a good spot. if they lose to Ohio State and they don't win the conference and they're like 9-3, he might be on the hot seat. I mean, it's tough. People want to kill him for not being able to win the big game. But
starting to understand why Coach Brent Pry of Virginia Tech can't win the big game coming from this James Franklin coaching tree.
But I mean, he's an easy guy to kill, but also like, look at it. He's also been very successful as a head coach. It's this weird thing where
third best in the conference.
Yeah.
Which I mean, is good. Which is like one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
But then now with the college football playoff, they got in there and they went on a run before where the playoff wasn't as big. It made their like, I think the college football playoff expanding helped James Franklin the most, you could argue. And certainly you saw that last year.
You don't have to go through Ohio State or go through Michigan.
They won two games in the college football playoff. Most coaches, they'd be looking to extend it, but there are incredibly high expectations for Penn State.
They're also a team that has a tremendous advantage hosting a game in the playoff. They're always going to, it's always going to be just brutally cold that time of year.
Yeah.
And honestly, even if you're from an area that has winter, odds are when you go to state college, it's going to be a different
pretty
temperature.
Bitter cold there in January, especially.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it works out. It's certainly the Big Ten is going to be interesting. We're running out of time, but real quick, Dylan Raiola, Matt Rhule, Nebraska, things seem to be lining up pretty nicely there.
I'm in
to the tune of a playoff ticket, which I cannot wait to get one out at the Circa when they open up their playoff markets. Plus 630, Sean. Again, you know, I think this is more kind of macro game theory around a conference like the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Nebraska doesn't have to make the conference championship. They can still get in. They have marquee games against Michigan at home. They play Cincinnati to open the season at Arrowhead, and they have winnable road games. I think this is another team that's going to rack it up. They get that Penn State game. That will be big in terms of the conference, but they can lose that game and still make the playoff. I'll look past Dylan Raiola's weird mimicking of
single
Patrick
white
Mahomes.
Female of Patrick Mahomes.
That's a little weird, but it's cool. The modern young athlete is a little different.
Ryan, coming up next segment, we're going to be joined by a guy who just hit a 10-1 first touchdown bet. That's right. In what sport? Of course, the CFL. Justin Mark from the CFL Gambling Podcast. Talking a little Canadian football when we return. Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast Live. Sean Stacking the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. It's happening, Kramer.
How's it going, Sean?
It's going great. Friday night here, chopping it up, talking early football. We always like to do, hit some college football futures, NFL futures. But what about football that's happening this weekend? That's right. Our good buddies in the, our good northern neighbors.
51st state, right?
51st state. We'll see how that goes, the negotiating process. But of course, joining us on the line from the CFL Gambling Podcast, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Mr. Justin Mark, J Mark, as we like to call you on the show. When we asked you on, you said perfect timing. I just hit a 10-1 first touchdown bet. What did you cash tonight in the CFL?
Yes, sir. I took Kenny Lawler first touchdown. I actually threw four of them out. So like when you guys are picking the NFL, you got to kind of diversify your options. And they're big payouts. CFL, I feel like there's not a lot of favorites. I mean, we've seen in the NFL, it gets down to what, plus 250, plus 300.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of that in the CFL because there are more players on the field and they spread the ball out more. Usually you have two wide receivers, three slot backs, which are your wide receivers behind the line, and a running back. So got a lot more options. Plus, anytime they get within like the 2 yard line, they do it. Sorry, Sean. The Philadelphia Eagles did not start the tush push craze. That was the CFL.
Oh, what?
They were doing the QB sneak. Yeah, every time it's a short down and distance, it's always a QB sneak, and it's always the backup quarterback that comes in.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
short yardage specialist.
Yeah, remember, a little short yard. That was Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, he was the one who would come in. And that's interesting because you mentioned, and you're already hitting on some of the differences. Big picture, let's say, for instance, I'm a diehard NFL fan. I got some time to kill. Maybe the wife's out of town, whatever. I'm looking for a little action. Going to watch some football. The only live football that's on is going to be Canadian football. What is the first thing I have to know as far as the difference between handicapping and picking NFL football and then transitioning over to CFL? What's the biggest stuff you've learned?
Yeah, good question. I feel like the dogs don't cover as much as they do in the NFL. Last week, three of the favorites won. There was only one upset. There's only four games a week. So, you know, sometimes three as well. So you have a lot less options of where you can maybe capitalize on gambling. But the other thing is the CFL is very good about releasing their injury reports after practice every day. Sometimes it seems like the books aren't jumping on that as quick. So, for example, for Saskatchewan tomorrow, BC at Saskatchewan, we thought their starting quarterback, Trevor Harris, may be injured and out because he hasn't practiced the first 2 days. So we jumped on BC Lions +5.5. They were plus about 210 at that time. Now they're only to a 2.5 point dog. So because Trevor Harris has been ruled out, the books hadn't adjusted for that yet. Now they have the gain, the 3 points. So things like that, I think, are pretty important and things that you can jump on and kind of get an edge on.
I like that. J Mark's got guys in the training room.
Well, and I just played the sharp sound effect because J Mark, that is some impressive CLV, a full 3 points. Now it's knocked down to BC getting 2.5 in Saskatchewan, total sitting at 49.5. Do you still like BC with the 2.5? Obviously, people should be subscribed to the CFL Gambling Podcast to get that sweet CFL CV, but if they missed out, is there something you like in this game for Saturday?
Yeah, maybe I still like BC as a dog on the money line. They should be getting Nathan Rourke back, their star quarterback. Like I said, Saskatchewan doesn't have Trevor Harris, and a lot of people are on Saskatchewan right now because they've started 3-0. They've looked really good. Last year they started 4-0 and then went 1-7-1 in the next 9 games. So. And that's straight up and against the spread. So just because they've started hot doesn't mean I'm ready to say that they should be the favorites, especially without their quarterback. BC definitely on the money line. And if you want to, I do have some first touchdowns for that one. So for Saskatchewan, their backup quarterback, Tommy Stevens, like I said, they get short yardage. They bring him in a lot. He actually had about a 20 yard gain last week too. It was 3rd-and-1. They go for the short quarterback sneak. He moves to the outside and runs for 20 yards. Their running back is also one of the best in the league, AJ Owlett. That's +650. And then on BC's side, I like both their receivers, Justin McInnes at 12-1 and Keon Hatcher at 12-1. Both of them have been on fire. And Keon Hatcher is usually a little bit better when Nathan Rourke's in the lineup rather than Jeremiah Masoli, who we saw start last week because Rourke was injured.
I love this.
Kramer, you're writing all these down. We got a lot of plays. Of
4 first touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, you were the one who started giving out those 4 first touchdowns for our NFL primetime games. Oh, don't put a full unit on all of them, but cut them up there, a little quarter unit on each.
My favorite is when people come out at me after I've won. Well, you gave out 4. All right. I know. I explain this every time. Take my unit, I put it on the table, and I chop it up. That's not for you. Go find a different place.
The Mike Vrabel approach.
By the way, this is completely unrelated, Sean, but I did have one of our employees report a leaner out there.
Oh, wow.
It makes me think, just chop your unit up 4 ways and make actual bets. Don't lean, buddy.
No, there's a time to lean. There's a time to clean. Of course, no leans on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Only picks and plays Sunday. We got the Argos traveling to Ottawa to square off against the Red Blacks. Argos catching 1.5, total sitting at 51.5. Money line's pretty even there. J Mark, what are we doing here for the Sunday matchup? And feel free to toss in any props you like as well.
Yeah, this one's definitely interesting. I mean, Toronto was last year's Grey Cup winner. This year they start 0-3. They're without their star quarterback, Chad Kelly. Of course, he did get hurt in the semifinal game. And then Nick Arbuckle, the guy that is their starting quarterback right now, he came in and won that Grey Cup. And what I thought was just a really well-coached game. Ryan Dinwiddie, the coach of the Argonauts, is a very frustrating guy. There's sometimes where I think he's a brilliant coach, like in the Grey Cup last year, backup quarterback, a guy that has more career interceptions and touchdowns, and they won the way they did. They upset him. And this year, just some of the roster moves that he has kind of helped drive, I'm really questioning them. However, I do think they get their first win this weekend, so I like them as a dog too. I was on Hamilton tonight as a dog. I'm on BC as a dog tomorrow. I'm on Toronto Sunday as a dog. Ottawa has been a little bit up and down, but they also have their backup quarterback. A lot of injuries, and this has to do with the fact that they only practice 18 hours a week. They don't use pads when they practice. I think that leads to more injuries. Your body's not used to taking these hits, so you're going to get more injuries. Anyways, they have Dustin Crum starting at quarterback for them right now. Last week, he went 9 for 22, 111 yards. He did run the ball well. He ran for 64 yards. He's kind of a backyard ball type of guy. If his first read isn't there, he takes off. Toronto's defense, even though they've struggled a little bit this year, they've started to tighten it up. The offense opened up in the second half of last week. I think they continue on that. They have not played well traditionally in Ottawa, but I do think that they get their first win of the season.
I like it. Fading a guy like Crum. Come on, Crum bum. It's right there, Ryan.
Arbuckle, great Canadian quarterback.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Now, J-Mark, we know the key numbers in NFL. Are there key numbers in the CFL? Obviously, I know the scoring's a little bit different. You got some rouge opportunities. Are the key numbers similar? Are they a little different? How do you break things down? Like, you know, in the NFL, you're getting 3 points. That means something. Does it mean the same thing in the CFL?
Yeah, to an extent. The rouge is the thing that can kind of throw a wrench in that. That's 1 point. If they miss a field goal and it goes through the back of the end zone, doesn't get returned, and also a punt that goes into the end zone and doesn't get a return, that's worth 1 point. It's called a rouge. At the end of tonight's first quarter, it was 1-1. So it just kind of, you can see some very strange things with that, 2-1. At one point, it was 8-7. But, you know, if your team's getting 2.5, 3 points, it's usually an indication. I think it extends a little bit more out because you do have those one-off rouge type opportunities. You have a real kickoff and special teams that return it for touchdowns. So I actually like more of maybe 4, 4.5 in the CFL. And that's not Colby rubbing off on me. I am a true proponent for the actual kickoff.
No, and they've had a couple. Of course, Ryan, if you remember last week's episode, Colby was all fired up because there was a crazy kickoff return that swung the game.
It was to cover the spread. It was a wild outcome there in that rough.
Wild football. And of course, make sure you check out J-Mark Old Fashioned Football and the CFL Gambling Podcast, which you can get both on the SGPN Network. And of course, follow him on X at J-Mark Football. Appreciate it, Justin and Ryan. When we return, we will be talking a little sports betting blackjack.
Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live. Sean Segmoney Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Happy Friday, Kramer.
Oh, well, it's actually Saturday. Happy Saturday.
Well, I'm on the West Coast, but I'm sure the East Coast audience appreciates that.
Right now you're on the West Coast.
I see you shuffling up your cards, getting ready for a little sports betting blackjack.
Should you hit?
Hit me.
You have 17, sir.
I like to live dangerously.
Should you stay?
5.
I'll stay.
I also like to live dangerously.
Let's see what the guys choose this week on Sports Betting Blackjack.
Kramer, next week we're going to be playing some blackjack live at the Circa. Of course, we're going to be going out there, hanging out for a couple of days. Our next week's show is going to be July 3rd, so a rare Thursday show. Fourth of July Eve. I'm sure we'll be breaking down some hot dog eating odds.
Can we talk about this?
Sure.
I'm going to be completely just a vagabond in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
For roughly, I think, 24 hours.
By so myself. We are doing our show July 3rd. You're driving out.
I'm driving out.
And then July 4th, it's just Kramer time.
Kramer time. And then I'm leaving July 5th, picking up the wife and kids from the Salt Lake Airport and floating down a river for 6 days.
Yeah.
So, boy, that 24 hours.
What's going to happen?
Well, my thoughts are one, like maybe this is the time I go get the marker, get the blue chip. This is the rectangle blue chip and go to the blackjack table and go try to make a move.
Yeah.
Make a serious move. Now, if I'm trying to make a serious move, do I make that move at the Circa?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Derek's our friend.
Well, but
I don't know if I want to make a move.
I'm sure he proved. If you ask Derek, do you want Kramer's blackjack action? I think he would say yes.
I'm feeling confident I'm being making a move. Then I'll hit the NFL slot. That could be dangerous with no one to say no. Tell me to walk away.
Anyway. Of course, we're playing sports betting blackjack right now. It's very easy. Basically, we flip over the cards like we're playing regular blackjack, but the cards coincide with this time a random alternate NFL futures. Oof. And we made sure the board is chock full of plus money plays. So all different variations here of some NFL win totals. And much like in blackjack, you don't get to decide what card you're dealt. So you're dealt that NFL future. You got to make a case for it on the spot, Ryan, showcasing our sports gambling improvising skills.
I took the liberty of giving the dealer a hand.
Oh, wow. Okay. Dealer,
your first card
already showing a jack of hearts. And I am stuck with a four of clubs. Not a great start to sports betting blackjack. So the four of clubs, Minnesota Vikings over 12.5.
I love this game.
600, the team I've been making fun of a lot of this episode. But the case for this, for optimism on the Minnesota Vikings, is pretty easy. They have a pretty good defense. They have a solid home field advantage. You have Justin Jefferson. You have Jordan Addison. To me, the biggest question mark is JJ McCarthy. And what if the Vikings fans are right? And JJ McCarthy did learn a lot in the virtual offseason that he had last year, and he hits the ground running in spite of the fact that they have back-to-back games in Europe overseas, his fifth and sixth start. That's not going to be a problem. He's going to be cruising. I do think Kevin O'Connell is a good head coach. And I think for them to shake out and go 13-4, I would frame it like this. Is JJ McCarthy one win less than Sam Darnold? If you said that's his season this year, is that crazy? Now, certainly Sam Darnold's 14-3 season, a little bit crazy, but if you just said, hey, all you got to do, win one less game than Sam Darnold. If you phrase it like that, I'm in. Vikings over 12.5 wins at plus 600.
Wow. Well done. Well, I mean, the Vikings do have experience conquering Europe.
Pillaging.
So those two games might be easier.
Yeah, you're right. Who dominated Europe more than the Vikings?
And they just showed up. Imagine you're enjoying a nice picnic by a river.
Roasting a chicken over a fire, and all of a sudden some Vikings show up.
An axe just slams into your face. All right, my first card.
Two of hearts. Okay. Not ideal against the dealer showing a jack.
Okay. Oh, no. New England Patriots over 10.5.
But this is an easy case.
Yeah, the case is that. Well, we once watched Mike Vrabel coach a team up that had Ryan Tannehill at the helm. Now, Ryan Tannehill did not have a ton of success outside of those couple of years with Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel. Perhaps Drake May, who has much more talented Drake May, who, still kind of learning the quarterback position, which is always a scary thing to hear. And Drake May with structure and not a brand new head coach. And you would think a team that's going to help support him and help that growth. Now, I think we have some question about the offensive lineman they draft. I think we have some question about Steph Diggs. I think we have some questions about what the defense will look like right away. But that being said, if you're going to play the Patriots, I think you do play a little ceiling. Now, if we get to 10.5, I think we're probably having to do some shopping with division prices.
Yeah.
But The Bills might just walk away with it. The Bills could very well win. They're plus 195 to be the number one seed in the conference. Yeah, that crazy. Means basically 13, 14 wins. So, yeah. Okay. You talked me into it. Now, I'm also probably lying if I'm telling you I'm betting this with my hard earned.
Pulling the curtain back, Ryan. Mike Vrabel, back to back 11 win seasons, 2020, 2021.
Once was a good coach. I saw he's playing in the charity golf tournament this year too. So okay. How focused could he be on winning?
I was just dealt the queen of spades. So I'm sitting on a 14 against a jack. Not ideal, but let's see what a queen of spades represents. San Francisco 49ers under 8.5 at plus 255. My nemesis, the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, they're a fun team to fade. I mean, look at Brandon Ayuk. Who knows what we get out of him and just starting there. And then Christian McCaffrey, I know he's looking good and healthy right now, but do you really feel confident in Christian McCaffrey?
When's their bye week? He'll need a trip to Germany.
And Brock Purdy, after you've paid him, we haven't seen Brock Purdy with money, Ryan. What if he's, he was this happy-go-lucky farm kid. All of a sudden, the money gets to him. He's rolling around in his Bugatti, blasting music. I could see this
going. Seems unlikely, but I don't think the money getting to his head is what's going to get him. I think it's the massive target that being a high-priced quarterback puts on your back.
Well, and the 49ers cornerback, Lenore, was just arrested Thursday for allegedly resisting a peace officer per TMZ. I think when it goes wrong with the 49ers, it goes wrong pretty bad. I still think it was crazy that they came in as the favorite in the NFC West. That market's shifted a decent amount.
Yeah, we moved that.
We were all over the Rams at 2-1 in the NFC West. So yeah, I'll happily take some 49ers alt unders. All right, Kramer, I'm sitting on a 14. What do you got?
Well, a 10 of spades just popped out here.
Okay.
Minnesota Vikings under 6.5.
I wish I got that one.
This is the more fun way to play the Vikings. Now you look at the division, could the Bears, even though we warned ourselves, we went in a time machine last year. We warned ourselves in the future.
Kramer put a calendar notice on our shared work calendar, Bears regression.
Beware of the Bears. It was like memento. I'm writing it on my arm to remember it. But the Bears could very well take a step forward. We know the Lions are pretty good and strangely getting disrespected just because they lost a couple assistant coaches. And as much as I hate the Packers do have a certain floor that I think exists because of their run game, their defense. I'm not going to give Jordan Love any credit. I couldn't believe he was on the VSiN graphic earlier, by the way. That was personally insulting. So yeah, would I love to in the same way that I think anytime you don't like a team that is catching hype, you want to play the ladder or the shoot. Well,
even Minnesota to have the lowest wins in the league, maybe that's a little
too crazy. That feels aggressive because O'Connell he's squeezing wins with Mullins and the Pastrnak. I think he'll figure it out. But they also, they did want to have Daniel Jones on this roster.
That's what, Sean, I keep coming back to on my negative Vikings thoughts.
So yeah, plus 300. Let's do it. All right.
Okay, Kramer, we're up against it time wise. Let's play these hands out. Right. You're sitting on a 12 against a jack. I'm on a 14. Yeah, of course. Hit me.
Nice. Six. 20.
All right. So I got a 20 against the jack. Kramer, you got a 12 hit.
21.
All right. Flip
this
it over.
Is, this is a hell
flip
of,
it over. What do we got?
Great omen.
Oh, dealer sitting on a 16 and an 8. Dealer bust. LFG. That is a great omen, Ryan, because we are going to be playing some blackjack. Next week, Thursday, live from the Circa. We'll be there. It's going to be a super fun show.
Fourth
of July Eve. Canceled date night indeed. When we return, we'll talk about some games on Saturday, including MLB, from our MLB expert, Scotty Reichel of the MLB Gambling Podcast. All that and much more. Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN.